All right, open your Bibles, please. Book of Mark, chapter 13. Mark, chapter 13. Going to have to hurry tonight. Got a lot of ground to cover, and I only have 2 hours to do it. I'm going to start just a few lessons on the subject, the Bible and the Bible. I'm not going to try to convince you anything about the Bible except what's written in the Bible. And I'll not be putting a book out on this, but the Grady is just putting out a fine book on the King James Bible. And I guess it's fine. I read most of it. I can't understand it. It's too deep for me. But I read the part where it says introduction, but I understood the part that gave acknowledgments to all the people that helped him. But I understand he's for the King James Bible, so I'm for the book. But it is, it's a treatise. It really is. I mean, whatever that is, it says it's a treatise. I don't know what a treatise is. But anyway, I'm not going to write a book on the King James Bible. But I am going to talk to you on the Bible and the Bible just for a few weeks. Tonight I want to talk to you on a very unusual subject. I think you'll enjoy the conclusion of it. In other words, you'll be glad it's over. That's what I'm trying to say. Mark chapter 13, verse number 31. I'm not reading the Bible now. I'm going to start a campaign for us to call the Bible the words of God rather than the Word of God. Now, I don't think it's wrong to call it the Word of God, but it contains the very words of God. Ever dawn on you that if there are many versions of the Bible, that must lead to thought inspiration rather than word or verbal inspiration? Because they said there'd be verbal inspiration, but they said it doesn't matter about the version because the same truth is taught in all of them. Well, that's truth inspiration rather than verbal inspiration. So look at verse number 31. Read it out loud, please. Mark 13, 31. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The word words there is the word I'm going to use tonight over and over and over again. Word. Now turn to Luke, please. Chapter number 21, verse number 33. Read it with me out loud, Luke 21:33. Ready? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Now open your Bibles, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 17. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy chapter 17. Just keep your Bibles open there. We'll have them ready for the first scripture of our study. Our Heavenly Father, bless our fellowship tonight and our study of the book about the book. Bless, I pray, this meeting. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, Father, we hastily come to thy word and hastily teach you tonight because we're a trifle late. Bless our study, please. And I pray you help the people to listen carefully as I try to open the book in Jesus' name. Amen. Deuteronomy 17:19, please. Deuteronomy 17 and verse 19. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. Now look at me. God does not say we're supposed to obey his word here or observe his word. He says his words. His words. Now take please and turn to Deuteronomy 27, verse 26. an amazing passage. Deuteronomy 27, verse 26. I want you to read that verse out loud, please. Page 245, Deuteronomy 27, 26, the last verse of that chapter. Ready? Cursed be he who confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say amen. Now look at me. The word confirm there means to approve and preach. If I confirm something, if Brother O'Clare says to you, a certain thing is going to, okay, the Father, Son, Trinity Supper. That's the one thing he does all year long. And he says, we're going to have a Father and Son Trinity Supper on a certain night. Okay, I get up and I say, I confirm that. As pastor of this church, I confirm that we are going to have the Father, Son, Trinity Supper on the night and the time of the night he said we're going to have it. What am I doing? I am approving what he said and announcing what he said. Or, if you want to use the word preach, I'm approving what he said and I'm preaching what he said. Now, look at it again. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say amen. Now look at me. There is a curse on people that change the Bible. Hear what I said? The people that put out the American Standard Version, there's a curse on them. Because they did not confirm all the words of the Word of God. They changed the words of the Word of God. The people that put out the Revised Standard Version, there's a curse on them, the Bible says. People that put out the New Scofield Bible, there's a curse on them, the Bible says. The people that put out the New King James Bible, and I was asked to be, by Mr. Moore, the president of Nelson Publishers, I was asked to be on the overview committee of the publishing of the New King James Bible. I would not consider it for a second because I don't want a curse to be on me. The Bible says there's a curse on those that do not confirm, get this now, listen to me, do not confirm and speak and preach the all of the words of God. Now, that means every word is important. But now, wait a minute. You want to see something in the curl of your hair or wrinkle on your scalp, whichever the case may be. Look back to, by the way, look at, there's several curses here in this chapter. We only read the last one. May I show you what the other curses are, and may I show you how bad God thinks somebody is who changes the Bible. Look back to verse number 18. Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way. And all the people shall say, amen. I was driving down the street the other day, coming to church on a Sunday afternoon. We have a deacon who's blind. He and his wife are about a block away here. And I saw them as they came. Now, if I had taken him, listen carefully, if I had gone to him and said, no, by the way, the other day I saw him by himself. I saw him by himself just the other day, walking behind the Walker building down that sidewalk over there. Let's suppose that I walked over and I said, hey, man, it's Brother Hiles. Let me help you. And I helped him. And I said, go this way. He had gone across the street, and a big truck had hit him and killed him. It'd be a pretty bad thing, wouldn't it? But the Bible says that's the Lord says that's equivalent to a person changes his word. I mean, he said, cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way. And all the people say amen. And that's just one of a list of people whom God curses. I think about Bill Burr. Bill was out somewhere hunting or something, and he saw a snake, and he cursed. I mean, said a curse word. And his friend Batchelor, Brother Batchelor, a pastor, said, Bill, you shouldn't have said that. And Bill said, I didn't do anything God didn't do. God cursed the serpent in the Garden of Eden. I'm cursing now. And I don't think it's the same type of language that God used, though. But now here's a curse. Now look at verse number 19. Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, fatherless and widow. And all the people shall say amen. There's a curse on people that do not judge fairly for the widows and the orphans. And the Bible puts in that same list the people that changed the Bible. So that means that these dear so-called supposedly godly theologians, with their theological and their ecclesiastical language, who go around the country deceiving people, that means they're as sorry as a guy that'll lead a blind man to get run over by a truck, and as sorry as a judge that'll mistreat a widow or an orphan. Well, let's go a step further. By the way, it says here all the people said amen. I wish I could have been there to hear them. Now look at verse number, boy, you talk about some pretty bad things. Look at here. Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife, because he uncovered his father's skirt. And all the people shall say amen. Here, the God places a curse on a person that misleads a blind man. God places a curse on a person, a judge, that doesn't give justice to a widow and to an orphan. Now God places a curse on a fellow that'll commit adultery with his father's wife. Pretty bad, isn't it? Let's go a step further. Whoa, look at verse 21. Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast. Let me just say what that means. That means God placed a curse here on people that would have sex with an animal. That's what it says. And the same curse is placed on a beast that'll change the word of God. And those days, all the people said amen. I'm saying that's how much God hates the changing of the Bible. And that's how God feels about these guys that have their names inside the Bible. The translation committee. The eminent theologians. They're eminent beasts as far as God's concerned. And there's a curse on these people. This is pretty bad list of things here. Let's go further. Cursed be he that lieth with his sister. Can you imagine? Are you listening? Can you imagine? Cursed be the fellow who misleads a blind man. Cursed be the fellow who is unjust. The judge is unjust to widows and orphans. Cursed be the fellow that commits adultery or sex with his father's wife. And cursed be the fellow who has sex with a beast. And now cursed be the fellow who has sex with his sister. And cursed be the fellow that changes the words of God. What a list. A preacher said to me not long ago, said, Dr. Howes, don't be so rough on these. He said, it's not so bad. I said, it's not so bad. Turn, please, to the 27th chapter of Deuteronomy. See what God thinks about it. Well, you said it doesn't seem bad to me. Well, you're not the one to decide. God said, if you sleep with your sister, if you sleep with your father's wife, if you sleep with an animal, if you mislead a blind person, if a judge is crooked to a widow and an orphan, God says, that's the way I see these sorry devils that change my word. I don't know of anything worse than changing the word of God. I don't know of anything worse than those Dallas Seminary professors. I know who they are. I was with them. They hoodwinked me into coming down there. They wrote me and asked me to be on the committee. He even called me on the phone and said, would you be on the committee? And I said, no, I won't. I went down to Nelson Publisher for another meeting, and they had this meeting while I was there, and you've heard me tell this. They had this meeting. I thought I was at another meeting, and I was at this overview committee meeting, and I didn't say anything. And so finally, Jarman Shoes, he was the overview committee chairman. And after about an hour or two, I thought I was at the meeting, and they're on this new King James Bible. And Mr. Jarman said, Dr. Howes, you haven't said anything yet. And I will tell you, the list of preachers around that table looked like a hall of fame of preachers. I'm talking about radio preachers that you would know. I'm talking about the most famous Southern Baptist pastors in the world around that table. And Mr. Jarman said, Mr. Howes, how do you feel about the progress so far? And I said, Mr. Jarman, I'm not for this. It's old King James Bible's all I want, and I'm against this. And one of the professors over there from Dallas Seminary said, well, that's a bad spirit. I said, what you rascals ought to do is get out of here and go soul winning with the old King James Bible and quit fiddling with the new King James Bible. Well, you say there, God calls them PhDs. God calls them worse than as bad as a man that quit sex with his sister. That's pretty bad. That's the list here. I'm just reading it for you. Well, I'm making a few comments along the way. Look at verse 23.
Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law. Now, we've been pretty frank tonight, because God's pretty frank. On whom does God place these curses? God has sex with his mother-in-law. God has sex with his father's wife. God has sex with his sister. God has sex with an animal. And a guy that perverts and changes the words of God. It's not like that. You people watch these guys on the television like Stanley and the other guys on the television set. But take the HIV Bible, which is of the devil. I said, which is of the devil? I said, which is of the devil? And God equates the people of the Zondervan Company that gave us the HIV Bible with these people that commit these awful, wicked sins. And you sit there and watch these guys on the television. And you say, they say some good things. They are reading out of a damnable book. And the curse of God is on them. Am I being understood? Let's go a step further. Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly. Or tiptoes up on his neighbor and shoots him. Murderer. A murderer. God said, cursed be the murderer. Look down at verse number 25. Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person. And all the people shall say amen. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. And all the people shall say amen. I do not know a place in all the Bible that tells how God feels about people that change the words of this book. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father. If we live, we've got to have every word. And if anybody changes a word, we don't have every word. And they've taken away our food. We can't live. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will. My words. Not my thoughts, not my words, my words. The very word. Every word's important. Every word in this book is important. I'll tell you more about that in a few minutes. Now, let's get this straight now. You folks at home watch these guys on television. You watch 700 Club, and they use all these HIV Bibles. That's the HIV. That's more scriptural than the NIV. I'll show you that verse in a minute. It says, cursed is he that laugheth an old man who's senile. I've cut up about that so much, and now I'm saying it seriously. Now, the HIV just goes NIV. But that's how God feels about it. And that's God's opinion. God says, I feel the same way about a fellow that changes my word as a fellow that commits incest. I feel the same way about a fellow that changes my words as I feel about a man that'll slip behind his neighbor and kill him. I feel the same way about somebody that'll change my words as I feel about somebody that'll take contract on another person's life. Let me just make it very plain. Not long ago, somebody who attended this church had been to our rescue mission, plotted to have his parents murdered. You saw it in the paper. In just a few blocks from where I stand right now, this guy, in order to get the inheritance from his family, drew up a plan, supposedly, allegedly, and had his mother and father murdered. And he supposedly was going to pay off another guy, and this other guy took a gun and shot this man's mother and father and killed them both just a few blocks from right here. God says he feels the same way about the translators of the NIV Bible. He feels about those guys. Now it's time you got shocked about what God gets shocked about. God's shocked, I'm shocked. If God places a curse on them, I'm not going to call them brother. I turn please to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 58. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. Wait a minute. God equates his name there with his word. And a man's name is equated with his word. Because what a man's word is what his name is. You see what I mean? Your name is as good as your word is. So, if you do not have all of his words, then you're wrong on his name. Look down to verse number 59. Then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful. And that word wonderful means full of wonder. It doesn't mean good. It means folks will wonder at the awfulness of the plague. Get this now. Then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuance. Now, you listen carefully. You listen carefully. Brother, ever since America took the Bible out of the public school system, we've had plagues. And you hear me carefully. Mr. Arthur Ashe, who just died with AIDS, died of a plague that God Almighty has sent on this world because we have changed his words. But God said, I'll give you a plague, awful, wicked, a plague full of wonder. You don't abide by my words. Well, it's time. I'm giving my rest of my life. That's several things, but one thing I'm giving it to is I am going to defend to the death the King James Bible and every word of the King James Bible. I am sick at my soul of people thinking they can change the words of God. God said, I hate it so much, I look at the fellows that change the Bible like I look at a man that'll sleep with his sister, or sleep with his wife's father's mother, or sleep with his mother-in-law, or sleep with an animal, or murder somebody secretly, or take a contract to murder somebody. And because I hate it so much, I'm going to send awful, wicked, rotten plagues on my people that change my book. Now you listen carefully. Those Dallas Seminary fellows that sat down there and changed the King James Bible are worse people than the whores of Hollywood are. Look at chapter 29, verse 29. The
secret things
belong unto the Lord
abroad.
Wouldn't hurt you like number three.
But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Don't leave me. I'm coming to a conclusion. That's why I was going to really shock you. I look at chapter 32 and verse 4-6. Chapter 32 and verse 4-6. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. But Brother Hiles, children can't understand the King James Bible. If you can't understand it, though you can, but if you can't understand it, it'll do you good. Well, Brother Hiles, they won't retain any of it. A strainer doesn't retain any water, but it's a cleaner strainer if the water goes through it. And by the way, we did a better job rearing children back down to 55, 60, and 75 years ago when all we had was this one Bible right here. It says, teach your children all the words of this law. Brother Hiles, the American Standard Version is that it's easier to understand. The American Standard Version came from hell. But, Brother Hiles, the American Bible Society, we can always trust the American Bible Society. You can always trust Adolf Hitler, too. How about trusting Saddam Hussein? You mess with God's words, and, brother, you playing with dynamite. Look at Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 8. Page 677. Proverbs 8:8. Page 677. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward, and that word forward means crooked or perverse, and that word perverse means changed in them. If ever you find the real words of God, they're not changed. They're not crooked. What it means is they're not like this, and they don't turn like that. That's exactly what it means. Forward means like that. Word of God is not like that. And the perverse means perverted, to go off on a tangent. It means the Word of God is not like that. The Word of God is not like that. Look at Jeremiah 26, please, in verse 2. Page 799. Jeremiah 26, 2, page 799. Thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee to speak unto them. Get this now. Diminish not a word. Say those words. Diminish not a word. Again. Diminish not a word. Again. Diminish not a word. Now that word diminish is what it means. It means don't dwindle. Dwindle, not a word. It means decrease, not a word. Reader Digest, did you hear what it said? It means decrease, not a word. But it also means tamper not with a word. Tamper not with a word. God says, don't you tamper with one word of my book. Don't tamper with it. You hear that, Zondervan? By the way, you know why Zondervan put out a Bible? Look, the first book I ever published was published by Zondervan Press. Pat Zondervan was a good man, and I knew him well. He flew all the way to Dallas, Texas to have a meeting with me one time years ago when I was pastoring Garland. My first little book Zondervan put out, Pat Zondervan's been gone for a long time to heaven. Do you know why they put that book out? Do you think they got on their faces, had an all-night prayer meeting, and begged God to make the Bible clear? No, sir. If they'd done that, they wouldn't have copyrighted it. Now, I'm going to shock you. Sometimes the printer puts my books inside my books, puts copyrighted. But, as McKinney will tell you, Dr. Shalloff will tell you, I never copyright my books. Never do. You know why? If somebody steals the material in my books and puts their name on it and sells a million copies, I'll be tickle pink. You know why? Because I'm trying to get the truth out. And whose name's on it doesn't bother me one stinking bit. Or one smelling good bit either. It doesn't bother me a bit. Not a bit. No. Like I say, the people that print books sometimes put copyrighted. But I never my book on the Holy Spirit's not copyrighted. Somebody wants to steal my material and put their name on it. Okay, I'm interested in the truth yet now. Doesn't matter. Listen, God knows who's putting the truth out. I'm not interested in getting famous. Brother, if somebody could steal my material on the church and put their name on it and sell a million copies and change Baptist to Baptist again and bring us back from this interdenominational hodgepodge, it'd tickle the fire out of me. Did you know the only Bible that's not copyrighted? I hesitate to say Bible. You know that the King James Bible is not copyrighted? Did you know that if I wanted to, I could just turn off and print a bunch of them right now without having to get any permission or paying any royalties? But that's not true with the Good News to Modern Man. The Southern Baptists are making money off that. That's not true with the NIV. Zondervan made millions off of that. I read that in your book you said the day, Brother Bill. I'm saying that You think, I know Mr. Moore down in Nashville. He's a good guy. I know him. But he's a businessman, and he's naive. They're making millions off this New King James Bible.
The other day I was preaching in, was it kind of Kentucky? Guy walked up to me, and I was signing Bibles. I signed 465,374,265,917 Bibles. And as I've said before, if I ever get my hands on a guy that started this habit, I'll choke him right beside the fellow that the lady that didn't ties. I'll do it. I'll kill him. I'll do it. I'll kill him. And God will be pleased. But I was signing a Bible. A fellow walked up and said, would you sign this Bible? I looked at it and said, New Scofield. I said, no, sir. No, sir. No. No. He said, don't you sign Bibles? I said, I sign Bibles. Don't sign versions. No, don't sign versions. Don't ask me to sign your version. No. You know, you got a bad spirit. Yeah, and God has a pretty bad spirit about it, too. God says, worse than sleeping with your mother-in-law. Oh, this is good. It says, don't diminish a word. Don't tamper with one word. Now, I'm going to logic with you for about 13 minutes, and we're going to go home and discuss it with each other at home. We've learned that you can't, if you change the words of God, you don't have the words of God. I've got to tell you that little illustration, you've heard it many times, but it's the best illustration I know about this. And that's that first full-time secretary I ever had. She was twice as old as I was, twice as ugly, too, twice as masculine, too. She had been Dr. Criswell's secretary. She's one of these pious. Oh, may the Lord help us and give us leadership to do His wonderful, blessed will today. I hired her because one of the deacons in our church said she'd been up to Dr. Criswell's secretary. Now, I was only about 25, 26 years old. I dictated the first batch of letters to her. Next day, she had them all wrapped up. She brought them to me to sign. And I began to read them. Didn't sound like me. Just didn't sound like me. I said, Mrs. Sharp, I said, would you get your shorthand? Didn't have dictaphone machines those days. Would you read the shorthand word for word as I gave it to you while I look at the letters? Well, she said, I could, but we're busy. I said, not too busy for this. She got her a shorthand book. She read, she had changed my words. And I said, Mrs. Sharp, you changed my words. It's your wife. And anyway, she said, but Pastor, she said, I have worked for a child in the faith. And she said, I'm using the words that I think Dr. Chris will be pleased with. And I said, you may have worked for a giant in the faith, but you're working for a pygmy in the faith right now. And I said, you're going to write exactly what I say, right? And I said, come to think of it, you're fired. And she didn't type another word for me. If you think that upset me, can you imagine how upset God must be with these people that change what He dictates? Oh, I know what, here's what your scholars, the self-style scholars say. They said, well, that's mechanical dictation. Call it what you want to call it. Every word in that book right there has been in heaven forever. People say, Brother Howes, but John and Peter had their own styles of writing, and Paul wrote in his own style. Yeah, but God didn't create the style because He had the men. God created the men because He already had the style. God made the Word of God always was, and Paul wasn't always was. So the man was made for the style, not the style comes from the man. So they're here. Now, turn to our old familiar passage, Psalm 12. It's the one we always turn to, but I've got to do it before I go any further. And I got to hurry, too. It would help if you could get me off the subject. Verse 6, Psalm 12, page 604. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Didn't say the word of the Lord, says the words of the Lord. He preserved forever. We read a while ago in Mark 13:31, Matthew 21:33, or Luke 21:33. We read a while ago that the word of God will never pass away. And by the way, we learned also that they cannot be improved. Look at, we just read Psalm 12 and 6. Look at Psalm 19 and 8, verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, pure. There it is again. Look at Psalm 119, verse 140. Psalm 119, verse 140. Page 661. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Look at Proverbs 30 and verse 5. Look at Proverbs 30 and verse 5. Every word of God is pure. Every word of God. That means you can't improve on it. It is pure. Every word of God is pure. Say every thought of God. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee and thou be found a liar. Huh. Instead of putting D.D. at the end of their name, how about Dr. McFuddle Liar? How about Liar McFuddle? Instead of Dr. McFuddle. Instead of a deeper lifer, call it liar lifer. Or deeper liar. Call it the DL degree. Dirty liar, that'd be stand for that too. I'm sick of them. I'm sick of them. Almost every month you pick up a paper and read that somebody's put a new Bible out. But the Bible says it's pure. Now get this. You cannot improve on purity. Peter said in chapter 2, verse 2, said about the sincere milk of the Word, or the sincere Word of God. Sincere means pure. Without guile, really what it means. Without guile. All right, now let's get this. No two of these versions can both be right. Hear me carefully. Because the Bible says the words of God are pure. By the way, you ought to be getting mad about now. The Bible says the words of God are pure. Listen carefully. So you cannot logically be for two versions. If the first one was pure, you can't improve on it. If it wasn't pure, the next one is pure. And you can't depend on the first one. So, you can't have a bunch of versions. Somebody sent me I get all kinds of these books from advertising publishers and so forth, sent me I forget how many versions in one book. It had the King James over here and the entire Bible. A bunch of different versions. Said, these are different versions of the Word of God. Do you know what a version means? A version means a pattern of something real. All right, listen carefully. All that God has ever done, He's done by His words. Turn to Genesis 1. Genesis chapter 1. Look at verse number 3. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Ask a question. What created the sun? The word of God. God's word. What created the moon? God's word. What created the stars? God's word. God said. Look at verse number 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, that divide the waters from the waters. Now verse 7, it says, it was so. By the way,
Every time it says in the Bible, and God said, it says later on, it was so. And God said, and it was so. 10 times in the creation story, you have, and God said, 10 times you have, and it was so. Look at verse number 9. And God said, look at the last 4 words, and it was so. Look at verse number 11. And God said, in the last 4 words, and it was so. Now what am I saying? I'm saying that everything that God has ever done, He's done through His words. This world is here today because it was made by the words of God. Hey, don't leave me. I'm going to give you something just before we go that's going to shock you. This world is here because the words of God. The sun and the sky in the daytime and the moon by night, they're there because the words of God. And by the way, you're here because God spoke you into existence. Everything that God has ever done. And that means you guys aren't going to go out of here and build a great church by having Johnny Cash as your visitor one Sunday. You build a great church by sticking in this book. This book is what does it. Now then, I wish I had time, but I don't. Listen, second, I'm going to tell you it. We'll skip a bit, just carefully. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we won't turn to it, verses 7 through 10, the Bible talks about the consummation, the second coming of Christ. And it says when Jesus comes to put down the Antichrist, He will destroy the Antichrist by the spirit word of His mouth and the brightness of His coming. What's going to put down Antichrist? The same thing that made this earth is going to destroy it someday. God's going to speak His words. In Revelation chapter 19 and verse 13, when Jesus comes back to do that, He's called, Revelation 19, 13, says He had a name written on it, and I knew by Himself, and His name is called the Word of God. Everything that God did from the time He spoke the first thing into existence from nothing to the last time when Jesus comes again in the clouds of glory, everything that God's ever done, He's done by His words. So leave them alone. Don't touch them. Don't tamper with them. Don't meddle with them. This thought. John 1:1 says Jesus is the Word, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, wait a minute. How did God create? By His what? By His Word, okay. John 1:3 says concerning Jesus, all things are made by Him, without Him, without anything made that was made. Are you listening? That means that Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus and this book are synonymous. Which means if you have an imperfect book, you have an imperfect Jesus. And here's what I want to tell you. I'll be true. This is a picture of Jesus. You meddle with this, you mess up the picture. Bill Grady, his wife, family, years ago when he was pastor in Idaho, had a painting made of my mother. It's as much like her as if it were a picture, photograph. It hangs in the waiting room over here. Somebody went in that thing and got some kind of a marker and drew a mustache on my mother. Now, it's been taken off with the Grady, I think. I think you had it taken off. The stencil. Been taken off. But now, wait a minute. Can you imagine how I felt when somebody took a marker of some kind and marred my mother's face? Do you see what I'm saying? How do you think God feels when the picture of His Son is marred? You ever hear the term hanging in effigy? Hanging in effigy. The word effigy means an image. They'll take somebody they hate and they'll make a doll that looks like him or maybe a big image that looks like him. Maybe a life size. And they'll put a
noose around the neck of that image that it looks like the real person and hang it from a tree, showing what they would like to do to the real person. Anything that is not for this book, anything that changes this book, hangs our Savior in effigy. So you cannot change the Bible without changing Jesus. And you cannot insult the words of God without insulting the Savior. And you cannot have a perfect Jesus and an imperfect Bible. So you tamper with the Bible, you're tampering with the Word of God, and Jesus and the Word are synonymous. Shall we stand, please?